Takeaway is very much at the University of Texas this morning, and that's great because within the last week or so, the Supreme Court heard arguments in the case of Fisher versus the University of Texas at Austin, which centers on whether affirmative action should play a role in student admission. As it currently stands, any Texas high school student who graduates in the top 10% of his or her class is given automatic admission to UT Austin. Those students account for over 70% of incoming freshmen. That's how they do things here in Texas. The other 25% to 30% of incoming freshmen are admitted based on what UT calls a holistic approach, which means the admissions department evaluates everything from a student's extracurricular activities to income to race. It is this latter holistic approach that white student Abigail Fisher is suing over, and that case has gone to the Supreme Court. She believes that holistic system gave applicants of color an advantage over her. Now, we don't want to relitigate Fisher v. UT, but we do want to talk to some students right here at the University of Texas about what role affirmative action actually plays in campus life. Please welcome to the program Mac McCann. Hey, Mac.
How are you? Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's great. He's a freshman at UT Austin. Samantha Robles, a third-year social work student. Hey, Sam.
Hi, thank you.
And Crystal Zhao, is that how? Is that?
Yes, that is
right?
Correct.
Crystal Zhao is a senior here on our roundtable, majoring in communication studies. All right, so the three of you, I want you to try to give me a fly-on-the-wall example of what affirmative action actually means when you're on campus. Do people have a sense of who's an affirmative action student, who's not? Do people have a sense of if they are, if they're not? Sam, what do you think? Do people know who they are and how the system has identified them or categorized them in some way?
No, I don't think when you're walking around campus, you can be like, oh, well, that student was admitted to UT because this and this and this, or because they're black or Hispanic or whatever. Personally, I do not see that at all here on campus. You only get to talk about, like, if we're having those discussions, then you see, oh, well, I was actually admitted under the holistic review, like Crystal was, you know. But unless we're talking about it, if you're just walking around campus, you don't see it.
Mac, how about you?
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. There's really no way to tell at all. It's, you know, it's great once you get here. It really doesn't matter how you got here. You made it.
Yet, does affirmative action cause you to suspect that various individuals in your classes are the result of some sort of affirmative action policy?
No, I definitely don't think you can accurately predict that anyway at all.
Crystal, how about you?
I feel the same way. Even having been admitted through the holistic process, like as an out of state student, like a lot of people assume that I am from Texas and I was a top 10%er, so they have no idea that any kind of affirmative action or anything that might have hurt me in affirmative action took place or anything.
Although, doesn't affirmative action and the policies of admissions that have grown up as you have grown up, don't they make the student body generally more race conscious in the sense that there is a race component to your success somewhere out there, even if you don't know what it is specifically? Anybody? I see you nodding your head, Mac.
Absolutely. I would definitely agree with that. And I disagree with the use of race at all in the admissions process. Because, for example, it allows people like Ms. Fisher, who the university already said wouldn't have got admitted regardless of race. It allows her to resent a certain group of people simply because they do have an advantage, which I don't think is necessary. I think holistic review as a whole is a good thing, and you should have income-based that should be a factor, but I don't think it's I don't think it's acceptable at all today, and 2012 to still use race as a factor.
What did you mean when you said resent?
Oh, I think the fact that Ms. Fisher can feel like she got rejected from Texas simply because she's a white student, I think that we shouldn't even give her that opportunity because the university already said she wouldn't have been admitted anyways. And so and actually our 10% rule, actually that's where the higher percentage of minority students are accepted through. And so this idea that we need to include race in the holistic review to increase diversity, I think does more harm than good.
Crystal, what do you think?
I don't know. I think it's very difficult to really say whether or not we should have race in the holistic process because there are a lot of inequalities going on right now in current society, even though we have moved forward a lot. But at the same time, you know, me being Asian, affirmative action does actually hurt me.
How does that work?
Because Asians are overrepresented on campus right now. We're currently roughly one out of every five students.
And so is it the case that students generally say, oh, you're Asian, you must have got 1600 on your SATs, that kind of thing? There's a presumption that you're a straight A student or something like that?
Yes, and I don't like it.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about you, Samantha?
Well, I think it's important to remember that there are 12 to 15 other components in the admissions process besides, including race. And so definitely just considering that as well. With the whole, there's this really interesting survey or research being done by the Asian American Legal Defense and Education Fund. You can check it out on their website. And it's like, it breaks down the Asian American. And so every subcomponent, and you see the success rate of every single one, because it includes more than just like Korean or Chinese. We also include like Southeast Asian and like those who are Desi. So it's really interesting if you look at that component, because I know like with Asian American, like and I love that that's also being talked about, that it's not just a black or brown thing, you know, that this is an issue of all colors.
Have you ever assumed that someone was an affirmative action candidate that you came upon on campus, so be they African-American, be they Latino, be they
Oh,
Asian?
No, absolutely not. And that's the thing. The fact that there's this idea that you can assume someone was helped or not helped by affirmative action, I think that's ridiculous to even assume that that's a possibility.
What if somebody gave you a break, that you actually had a little problem with your grades or something, didn't make the grade, and somebody sort of intervened and said, maybe they're a friend to the admissions department, and said, you know, we think Mac is a good guy, we're going to let him in. Is that appropriate?
Oh, no, of course not. And that's a great point. I think if anything, using race as a factor is degrading to minorities, because it's implying that people of color, that the affirmative action does help. It's implying that they actually need this help, that they need this boost. And I think that's unacceptable in today's society.
All right, Sam, you want to give us a comment, and then Crystal, and that's all we have time for.
Well, I think, I think it's very idealistic to be, you know, we want to all be equals. And like Crystal said, there's a lot of inequalities going on right now. And so with this whole case, I think it's important to just think about that. Are the universities in Texas cannot fix something that's going on in the K-12 level.
All right. And Crystal, final word?
I'm just afraid that if affirmative action does get struck down, it will affect the top 10% rule as well, because people can argue that that is a version of affirmative action. I'm afraid what's going to happen to university in the long run because of that.
University of Texas students on affirmative action as the case is before the Supreme Court. Mac McCann, Samantha Robles, and Crystal Zhao, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.